Welcome to Haunted Hospitality, Southern Stories told by Spooky Gingers. I'm Robin.
And I'm Zoe, and I have a story for you today. But first, Robin, how's life?
Life is good, thank you for asking. So, I am reading a book right now. I don't know if you've heard of it, Final Girl Support Group by Grady Hendrix.
I have heard of that, and I should probably be reading that book, too.
I'm only on page 17, so
okay,
it's fine.
Okay, I don't feel too bad anymore.
So Zoe and I are going to be doing a Patreon episode sometime in, like, the next several months, because we're way on that, weirdly, about the book. So we're looking forward to that, but Grady Hendrix is a great horror author. And so this book, I'm just going to give a little bit of the premise.
Okay.
It's not really a spoiler beyond the 17th page, because that's impossible for me to give.
Yes.
But it is about the girl who, in the end of, like, a horror slasher film, she's, like, the one teenager among the group who the monster was not able to kill. And it's like, doesn't she have PTSD now for the rest of her life? And so it's about a support group of the final girls.
And, like, the final girl is, like, a trope in, like,
yeah,
slasher films. So
it's definitely playing on the trope so far. I'm really enjoying it.
Okay. Isn't it like some monster is trying to kill the final girl support group? And like,
I haven't gotten to that point yet, Zoe.
Well, if you read the inside flap.
Girl, I just trust. I'm like, cool cover, like the author. I'm going to read it.
So this
I'm going to buy it.
This is going to be like the 75th Hunger Games, where they take all of the previous champions and they're like, hey, you were number one in your round, so let's see who's number one of the number ones, essentially.
I didn't even know you liked Hunger Games, so thank you for that pop culture reference.
First of all, who said I liked it? I've never read the books, I've only seen the movies, and I didn't enjoy the movies, so.
All right. As always, I remain the pop culture one. TM of the two of us.
I mean, I think if I read the books, I would like it, but it's gotten to the point where it's like, everybody was reading that when I was in like 6th or 7th grade.
If you were going to read The Hunger Games, you would have already read The Hunger Games.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like I can't read The Hunger Games anymore.
I can just imagine you, like, on a subway, even though you don't go on subways because there's not a subway. But I can just imagine you in a subway reading The Hunger Games, and then somebody looking at you, you flip a page and you go like, oh, what? Because, like, everybody knows everything that happens in that book.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your life?
Oh, my life's good. I have actually been building the Lego sets that Kari's been buying me.
Yeah.
So I do this thing, I do this all the time, where it's like, I am really interested in this thing. Oh, I want to record myself doing this thing, whether it be video games, building Legos, whatever, you know?
She says on her podcast.
Yes. And I'm like, I want to record myself doing this thing. Okay, so I'm going to wait to do this thing until I have the ability to record myself. 2 years later, I have not done the thing.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to do the thing. And so, I don't know if you know this. I don't know how Lego you are.
I'm not.
They have a series of Lego sets that look like books. There's one for Gryffindor, one for Slytherin, one for Hufflepuff, and one for Ravenclaw. And if you open the book, it has a classroom set in there. So I have the Slytherin one, because of course I do, and it has the potions classroom when you open the book.
Oh.
Yes. So I have that on my shelf that I put together. And then I also had a bonsai tree that I put together in the cherry blossom setting, because there's two different settings. There's a green setting and the cherry blossom setting. But the cherry blossoms are little pink frogs. And I put that together, and that took several hours. But the last one I have is the $260 one I purchased at Legoland. That is a giant question block from Mario, where you can open various, like, hidden compartments, and there'll be, like, various scenes from the games in it.
That's really cool.
And I can't wait to put it together. But, like, the thing is, Kari wants to help me put it together, because he's also interested in it. And I'm just, like, there's been multiple times where it's like, oh, I'm available to put it together, but he's not. You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, and, like, there's been multiple times where we're like, oh, we'll do this, we'll put together the question block tomorrow. And then the day comes and it's just, like, we end up doing random things.
So what you're saying is we need to hurry up and finish this podcast so you can get to Legos.
Ideally, yes, but he is currently streaming right now, and usually when he streams for a few hours. Go follow him on Twitch at Cal Moon, K-H-A-L-M-O-O-N, and then tell him that his girlfriend sent you. Yes.
You heard it. Go follow Cal Moon.
Yes. So, Robin, do you have a something-something?
I do have a something-something for you, and I think it falls under the category of something spooky.
Okay.
I am taking a segment that we have done a couple times just in our regular episodes, and I am making it into a something spooky. Last-ish, words-ish edition.
Ooh!
Yeah! So, okay, if you haven't heard previous episodes or missed the couple of ones where I mentioned what last-ish, words-ish meant, people say things when they die.
Yes!
And sometimes those things are recorded faithfully, sometimes they are not. Sometimes they are not words, I'm assuming. And so, you know, you just kind of got to go with last-ish, words-ish and be like, wow, this person might have said this thing when they died.
Yeah.
So I have a list of, I think, 10. I might have miscounted, but I didn't decide to count again.
Okay.
And they are from the Wikipedia entry on last words, as well as the Mental Floss article, 64 people and their famous last words.
Okay.
Linked in the sources link, so you can get to our blog and then you can get to those links. So, the first one I have for you is Chrysippus, who was a Greek philosopher.
Oh.
And he said, go and give the ass a drink of wine to wash down the figs. And then he died from laughing. So what was happening? he meant donkey.
Yeah.
Go and give a donkey a drink of wine to wash down the figs. Because apparently a donkey was eating figs and he was just tickled, a little too tickled, because he dies.
How? Okay.
Not all of these are funny, but that okay. One was a funny one.
Okay.
So some of these have been translated to English. I would argue a lot of these have been translated to English.
Okay.
Marco Polo.
Okay.
Was a traveler who did a lot of exploring, especially to Asia, and he wrote a memoir called The Travels of Marco Polo. He lived around the 1300s, and apparently people were kind of saying, was he writing true things in The Travels of Marco Polo? And his dying words were, I have not told half of what I saw.
Okay.
As in, like, girl, I didn't even put it all in the book.
Thank you for that further translation, Robin.
Thanks, guys. Okay. Henry Beaufort, or Beaufort, I think it's Beaufort, died in 1447. He was the Cardinal Bishop of Winchester. And he said, will not all my riches save me? What? Is there no bribing death?
Okay.
I found that interesting. Like, you got all this money, still gonna die.
Okay. There's a difference there. If he was saying it like, oh, I've spent my entire life collecting these riches and it means nothing because I still die like a normal human. I'm saying something profound. That's one thing. But if it's like, no, throw my money at it, you know, that's a whole other thing.
I think he's doing the first option where it's like okay. A little bit sarcastic. Because the whole, what, is there no bribing death?
Yeah.
It's like, of course there's no bribing death, but it's also like, you think you're kind of invincible when you have a lot of money.
Right.
And he was, I think, in the process of realizing he was not. Now, we have, and I don't have a date for this, we have General John Sedgwick. This was when he was at the Battle of Spotsylvania Courthouse. And this is when he's, I think, looking at enemies who are about to shoot at them. And he said, they couldn't hit an elephant at this distance. Then he got shot.
Ooh.
Yeah. So.
Irony.
Yes, exactly. This next one is Henrik Ibsen, who was a playwright from Norway, and he died in 1906. And his maid had come up to him, and I think he's like on a sick bed. His maid had said, oh, it looks like you're doing better. And his final words were, on the contrary.
Oh my god, I would love it if that's how I died. Hey, are you feeling better? No.
Okay, so in 1907, there was a French writer named Alfred Jarry whose final words were, "I am dying. Please bring me a toothpick."
Why?
There was no context.
Why?
I don't know.
That kind of sounds like those people who get sick and they use it as an excuse to not do anything for themselves. Like, "I'm so sick. Can you get me a hot chocolate?"
Yeah, except in this case,
he's dying.
He really couldn't get the toothpick.
Yeah.
One of the toothpick.
Oh my gosh.
Then we have in 1908 an American author, Joel Chandler Harris. I think he's again on his sick bed, as I'm inferring from this. It's similar to the one, two ones ago, when somebody comes up and asks him how he's feeling, and he says, "I am about the extent of a tenth of a gnat's eyebrow better." And then he died.
So he wasn't even that much better.
He was not even that much better, no. Here comes two interesting and kind of serious looks at two very well-known people. Mm-hmm. Isaac Newton.
Right.
His last words, and I have a feeling that maybe this was written down by him, like in a letter or something. "I don't know what I may seem to the world, but as to myself, I seem to have been only like a boy playing on the seashore and diverting myself now and then and finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell than the ordinary, whilst the great ocean of truth lay all undiscovered before me." So this is a guy who, like, established our laws of physics.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically saying that, like, what he had done had not been substantial, and that there was the opportunity of uncovering more truth. More, I assume, scientific, but I don't know. I don't know in the context of what he's talking about.
Hmm.
Discoveries up there. But then again, he was the one who was like, gravity. Gravity's a thing. And that's a pretty big finding.
Yeah, yeah.
We have Leonardo da Vinci now.
Okay.
And he said, "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have." This guy painted the Mona Lisa.
Yeah. I mean, which is like, I don't understand okay, why, like, the Mona Lisa. But didn't he also do the chapel, the Sistine?
No, that no? was Michelangelo.
Oh, okay.
But Leonardo da Vinci did a lot of crazy good things in arts and in science. He designed the first, like, prototype for a helicopter. They didn't really have the ability to make it, but I've been in a museum that took his drawings and put them out there, and you're like, yeah, if you had the right materials,
yeah,
an engine, that would be a helicopter. He designed the bicycle, I think. He was one of the most prolific people, and yet, oh, I'm not proving it to you, I'm proving it to, like, the audience, I don't know.
Okay.
He was, like, one of the most prolific people. These people, they kill me. They kill me. And we're ending on a funny one.
Okay.
Louise Marie Therese de Saint-Maurice. She was the Countess of Versailles. I probably mispronounced all of the words I just said, by the way. She was dying, and she farted. And she said, "Good, a woman who can fart is not dead." I like her. But unfortunately, she did pass away after that.
That's amazing. And I feel like a five-year-old laughing at a fart joke, but
I know. But it's so funny.
It is. Oh my word.
So that has been the conclusion of Last-ish, Words-ish.
I think that was something silly.
I guess so.
No, it would be considered spooky because it's people dying, which is spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
Zoe, do you have a story for us today?
I do. I do. And I know both of our last episodes were pretty intense, I would say.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I have a continuation of your something silly. So, Robin, I would like first, to people who do not enjoy the sound of the F word, and to my mother, who does not enjoy hearing me say the F word,
hey,
I advise you to potentially not listen to this episode. It's only going to happen a couple times, but the joke is right there. It's right there, and I can't not do it. So, Robin, would you like to hear about the fuck monster?
Yes, I would like to hear about the fuck monster.
This one's gonna get tagged explicit. So, it's actually pronounced the folk monster. I know.
Okay.
I know. I'm so sad. But when I first saw it, the reason I did the research on this is because I was like, excuse me, the what monster? So, I would like to introduce you to my dear friend, the folk monster, also known as the Boggy Creek Monster. Also
is this
known...
Irish?
No.
Oh.
Also known as the Swamp Stalker.
Ooh, I feel like there's a lot of cryptids in swamps.
Yeah, it's mostly swamps, seas, or air.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
You're right. We have another cryptid episode on our hands. The folk monster resides in the creeks that extend from the Sulphur River bottoms in southern Arkansas near a town named Folk.
Of course it couldn't be Irish. We're a southern podcast.
Yeah, I was wondering why you asked that. I was just like, no? I'm apologies. Like, this is an extra-sode.
This is an extra-sode. Okay, okay, okay.
Okay.
Folk monster.
Yes. The folk monster is an ape-like creature. It is bipedal, is covered with long, dark hair, and is seen mostly at night. Some people do call it the Southern Sasquatch.
Oh.
Yes. So original reports from the 1970s say that it is 7 feet tall. It weighs about 250 to 300 pounds, which means if it's 7 feet tall and weighs 250 to 300 pounds, it would be skinny scrawny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much of that is accurate and how much of that is people being like, well, anything over 200 is fat.
And also, like, who put it on a scale?
Yeah. Later, people claimed that it was 10 feet tall and closer to 800 pounds, which seems like a better weight to height distribution.
Thought. Uh-huh. Sometimes males in a species are quite a lot bigger than females in a species.
Sometimes it's the opposite, too.
Sometimes it's the opposite, too. Gotta carry them youngins.
Yes, and protect them youngins. Yes. Did you know, what's that fish? That fish that's in Finding Nemo that has the light? Anglerfish?
Maybe.
Well, those fish, that was a female because the males are about an inch long. And what they do is when they find a female, they just like attach to her body and become absorbed into her body.
Oh, gotcha.
So what I'm saying is the mascot of feminism should be the anglerfish.
Gotcha.
Anyway, that's an aside. That's a whole different conversation.
Which we will have in depth at some point. The anglerfish feminism.
Yes. So they say that the folk monster runs swiftly with a galloping gait, and it swings its arms like a monkey does. They also say it smells like he needs a shower, because it smells
most
like...
Most animals do.
It smells like a mix between a skunk spray and wet dog.
Okay.
Though I do have to say, it is frequently seen next to the Sulphur River bottoms. I imagine if the river bottom is called the Sulphur River bottom, there's a lot of sulfur in the area. And you know what sulfur smells like? Rotten eggs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're not smelling the monster, because there's been a couple reports of they're like, I'm in my car and I smell something terrible and I look to the side and there's the monster. And it's like, he would have to be really stinky for you to smell
like
him
to
in your
smell
car.
It from your car.
Yeah. Oh, also, don't forget about this. It has bright red eyes that are about the size of silver dollars, which are 1.5 inches in diameter.
It's big eyes. That's big red eyes.
Big red glowing eyes.
Big red glowing eyes.
They reflect light, like cats and stuff.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. So some tracks were found that were attributed to the folk monster. Some of them measured 17 inches in length, so about a foot and a half, and 7 inches wide. However, there's other sets of footsteps that were found that other people claim to be the folk monster steps. And those tracks only had 3 toes. So the most famous folk monster tracks have 3 toes. That becomes important later.
Okay.
So residents say that it has been around since 1964, but the first reported sighting was in 1971. So 1971 was the sighting that kind of got media attention. Before that, all the sightings were a part of, like, kind of the folklore of the town.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know I love me some folklore.
Well, There are a lot of cryptids in this little area of Arkansas. Because anyway. Some people say that the folk monster goes back to 1946, but it was known more as the Jonesville monster because it was closer to Jonesville than folk. I mean, there's also, like, something about a frog that was really, really big. And then there's, like, somebody that they call Whitey, which is just me when I'm going to take a bath. But anyway, I'm sorry. But apparently...
It's not a cryptid, it's just Zoe naked.
Yes. Yeah. No, but it's, like, apparently a river monster called Whitey. They have so many different cryptids in this area, and people genuinely believe it's because when Arkansas was, or at least this area of Arkansas was first being settled by white Americans, there weren't many people in the area to begin with, so, like, a lot of natives kind of stayed out of this area. It was kind of dangerous because of all the rivers and the woods and the everything that could happen, like caves and things like that. And so people think that bored families had to figure out what to do with their kids. So they would let the kids play outside, but then the kids were getting lost in the woods, injured in caves and rivers and stuff like that. So they came up with wood monsters and cave monsters and river monsters to keep the kids safe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, a lot of fairy tales.
So that's where the original, like, folklore comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So there was one sighting before 1971 that was originally taken very seriously. However, it took place in 1955 when a 14-year-old boy saw the creature standing up. And the creature had reddish brown hair and it was sniffing the air. The boy shot at it with birdshot and the creature did not react as if he was injured. However, the sighting was quickly debunked because after some investigation and interviewing the boy, they were like, yeah, you just saw a bear. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're like, yeah, no, that was a bear. Because, you know, bears can walk on their back legs.
Mm-hmm. I do think that if I saw a bear on its back legs, it would take me, like, I would be like, what's that? And then I would be like, oh, it's a bear on its back legs. I would not look at it and immediately think, oh, bear on its back legs. You know, there's a moment to process.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if bears, you should run or you should stay still. You should, I don't know.
I don't know. I know some people say climb a tree, but if it's a brown bear, I think they climb trees. So...
There are definitely bears that climb trees. And then, like, what if you're just in normal woods that don't have a lot of low limbs? I mean, have you seen pines?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't have great upper body.
There was a Florida man who recently fought a black bear off his front porch to save his 3 wiener dogs.
Of course there was.
All 3 dogs were okay. They didn't get injured. Okay. And the man has to get rabies shots because he was, like, bitten in the neck or something by the bear.
You know what? I say of course there was, but actually, good on him for protecting his dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Really good on him. Good on you, Florida man.
Like, I mean, he had the bear in a headlock. Like, yeah, it's a video. You can see it because it's, like, caught by his security cameras.
Was the bear okay at the end?
I don't know.
Okay, I hope the bear was okay at the end.
Because it ran away. I think they would have had to, like, find it to try to hurt it.
Okay, so
yeah.
They didn't do that. Okay, good, good, good.
Okay, so the 1971 sighting that just made everyone so excited for this thing, okay? So Bobby and Elizabeth Ford were at home. They're a married couple. And Elizabeth was sleeping on the couch in the front room when the screen window directly in front of her was punched in by a very furry arm with reddish brown hair. And she's like, that's a bear. And then it stuck its face in. It made no noise except for heavy breathing. She said that it had a flat nose and canines like teeth, like a baboon or a dog.
A flat nose, really?
Yes. And she screamed, obviously. And so the men of the household all came down and they waved their guns at it and shot it and it ran away. And then, like, at one point they shot it and it fell down. And so Bobby was like, okay, now I gotta go check on the woman because I thought I heard them screaming. And the other men that were in the area, like, kind of converged on the creature. So while Bobby was running away, somehow the creature came up to him. He was attacked. He says it breathed heavily in his ear. It put its arm around his shoulder and grabbed him. He said that he broke free and ran, running so fast that he did not stop to open the front door, but instead barreled right through it. He was treated at the hospital for some minor scratches and shock.
Okay.
Now, despite the fact that it had gone down and it seems like they had shot it a couple times, there was no blood found at the scene. And so when the police were there, they were like, well, we found scratches and we found footprints with three toes. And obviously the window was damaged because he punched it in. But there was not much. So then they started doing like a wood search, like a search of the area. Because they were like, well, a bear that's willing to come up onto someone's house is kind of dangerous. So they were trying to find the bear because that's what the police were assuming it was at this point, despite the Fords being like, that wasn't a bear.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't able to find anything. Let me show you Robin real quick.
Your photos.
That is a cast of the footprint mm-hmm. they found. You see how it's like three toes and then a weird side toe?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody ever mentions the side toe, but I see, honestly, I see four toes there.
There are three at the top and then a fourth one, like kind of almost like it's traveling down the paw pad of something, yeah. But like mid foot is where it would come out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. The Fords had actually heard something moving around that night earlier, and they said that they had heard it several nights in a row prior, but they had literally just moved in a week before the incident. They said that the beast returned after the police left, but they scared it away again with guns. So, a reporter, after hearing this story, went to go interview them and see what was happening, and this was about a week after the incident. He went to go interview them, and he saw them loading up furniture because they were moving out. Like, this incident scared them so badly that they were moving out of a house they had literally just moved into.
Gotcha. I mean, I don't think I would want to stay either if it was
my true.
Experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If it was true.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I faked it, I'd be, like, say something like, oh, no, I'm gonna give that thing what it came, you know? Because I don't think anybody would move again after having just moved in based off of a fake story that they told.
I got you.
Moving is too much of a hassle for that.
Moving is a hassle. I never think about how much I hate lifting things. Until it's day of, and you have to lift so many things.
Yeah. Yeah. Fast forward to May 23rd. Three people were in a car, and unfortunately I got this from a old newspaper. It was a local newspaper, so everybody knew everybody. So mm-hmm. I have a Mr. Woods, a Mrs. Woods, and a Mrs. Seedglass.
Oh, I've run into that so many times. Nobody ever put first names in newspapers for the longest time.
No, they didn't. I'm sorry, not Seed Glass. Said Gas. There we go. So these three were out in their automobile when they saw an ape-like creature crossing Highway 71. They said that it was stooped with long, dark hair and that it ran upright across the highway. Mr. Woods said that it looked like a giant monkey and weighed more than 200 pounds. They thought they would hit it with their car. And then Mr. Woods also said it was really moving fast across the highway, faster than a man. Its arms were swinging, kind of like a monkey's. The thing didn't act like it even noticed us. It didn't look at the car. And then Mrs. Woods said she was previously a skeptic, but she said, now I know that it's true.
Okay.
So, Mrs. Woods, firm believer.
All right, Mrs. Woods.
Yes.
She believes in the, oh, are we going to do that whole, I believe in the folk monster, I kind of believe in the folk monster. Mrs. Woods definitely believes in the folk monster.
Yes, and I will tell you where I stand at the end of this.
I love the suspense.
So these sightings brought locals and tourists together to search in the woods in the hopes to find the creature. There were several more claims of sightings and footprints, but many were, how do I say it, not believable. There was a set of footprints that were well known, like they became well known, and they were found in a soybean field nearby. These also only had three toes, and the town's game warden was unable to explain them away or confirm their authenticity. So he's like, these aren't the tracks of any animal that's in this area that we know about. However, I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, these belong to the folk monster.
Gotcha. But confirm authenticity, it sounds. He can't confirm that they were naturally made versus a hoax? Or am I reading that wrong?
I would say that would be a very fair reading of what he was saying. It seems like a lot of town officials are kind of the opinion that the folk monster does not exist, but they're not going to tell anyone not to believe in it.
Interesting.
Yes. And I have a couple quotes that come up later, but I think it's mostly because the tourism thing.
That makes sense. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So a little rock radio station, KAAY, put a $1,090 bounty on the folk monster. And I'm just now realizing I probably should have adjusted that for inflation. But from the 70s until now, imagine that's significantly a lot more.
Just assume.
I'm going to guesstimate at $5,000. Do not quote me on that. So they put the bounty on the folk monster, and then even more tourists started coming in. So hunters tried to track it with dogs, but the dogs could not find the scent. And so they just started walking around the woods aimlessly, looking for the monster with guns.
The best pastime.
Yeah. And it got so bad that the county sheriff in a southern United States had to put a no guns policy in effect. Because it was just so bad. And he was, like, terrified that somebody was just going to shoot other people in the woods looking for the folk monster.
I mean, absolutely. I'm shocked that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a no guns policy put into place to preserve public safety. So no one during this time was able to find proof of the folk monster. However, three people did try to say that they had proof. And they were fined $59 each for filing a fraudulent monster report.
Wait one second. What is a monster report?
I think it was like either, I mean, photographs weren't really a thing. So they must have somehow faked proof and then tried to go and say, here's the proof.
Because I get it if you're filing a false police report, which is totally what I expected you to end with. But it sounds like a monster report is like an official thing and you can't mess with them.
No, you'll get a $60 fine.
A $59 fine.
It's on sale. $59.99. Yeah. Okay. So after there wasn't any luck in finding the creature, interest did die down. People who had not seen it were like, it's probably just a bear just walking around on its back legs. But people who had seen it are like, but no, it looks like a monkey. It's a monkey. Okay. So yeah, interest started dying down. But then there was one hero. His name is Charles B. Pierce. And he said, okay, no, this beautiful legend must go on. So he released a docudrama horror film in 1972 called The Legend of Boggy Creek. And the movie got national attention. Like, it was
really
a C-rate movie with, I mean, most of the people working on the movie were college students doing this for class credit. And it grossed $20 million.
This is, like, less likely than the Folk Monster itself.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, like, obviously people saw this movie and they're like, oh my God, I need to go see the real Folk Monster. And so interest started coming up again and more tourists were coming in and all of that. But again, it was just a bunch of small sightings with no proof.
Mm-hmm.
So by fall 1974, people had forgotten about the Folk Monster again.
Man, people's attention spans are just blips.
I think it would be one thing if there's, like, photographic proof or something, like, tangible that they had, but they didn't have anything but people's stories.
That's true.
Like, if I told you the spaghetti monster fell from the sky and just slapped me around a bit and then went back up to the heavens, you wouldn't believe me, even if I had spaghetti sauce all over my face, you know?
No. I do think I would have a long discussion. I didn't even try to get down to the bottom of what happened. I would be like, something happened. I just don't know what it is.
Okay. There were many cases of missing livestock during this time, and a lot of dogs that got injured. I couldn't find anything about any dog dying, though. And a lot of these injuries and missing things were blamed on the Folk Monster. But Robin, I think what you want me to do most right now is to tell you every single recorded sighting of the Folk Monster.
I do, actually. I really want you to tell me that.
Okay, so folkmonster.net. Oh my gosh, I love them to death. Okay, so they have a list of every recorded sighting that has some substantial proof to it. It's not like a five-year-old being like, I saw a monkey, you know? It's like, respected people are like, holy crap, I just saw it. So,
all right.
I'm not going to tell you all of them, but I am going to highlight the big ones. 1908 is the first sighting that they have on their page, despite the fact that people were saying like, oh, it goes back to 1955 or whatever. 1908 is the first sighting. So a local named Willie Smith claimed that his sister saw the creature when she was 10 years old. So I think when he was reporting this, he was older and his sister had passed.
Oh, okay.
So it's like he reported it maybe in 1980, but said it happened in 1908.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense.
It was seen again in 1910, 1916, and then in 1932, a local saw a hairy, man-like animal on his porch, but then it quickly went into the woods when he started yelling at it. In 1943, a serviceman saw, I think that was military, saw a wild man run across the road.
That could be anything.
Yeah. In 1946, a woman saw a creature in the field, and she described it as, I love this description so much, it looks kind of like a man and walks like a man, but I don't think it was a man. It was seen in 1954 by a woman and her two children, and then again in 1955 near Boggy Creek. The man who saw it in the Boggy Creek shot it 15 times with a rifle, but apparently missed. In 1955, it was seen in Jonesville washing its hands in a river. So, hygienic king. In 1964, it was seen by a teenage girl in her yard, and then in 1965, it was seen by a teenage boy while he was hunting. He shot at it, and then he ran away.
I just don't get why we're constantly trying to kill this thing.
I don't know. In 1965, another teenage boy sees it near a lake. This is where it's described as 7 feet tall with reddish-brown hair that... The hair is about 4 inches long all over its body. It stood upright like a man, but had extra long arms. He also shot at it, and it ran away. It was seen again sometime in the 60s, and then again in 1966 by a school bus driver. And then this reoccurring character comes up.
Okay.
In 1966, a man named Smokey Crabtree reports that he saw the monster and that it approached its house multiple times at night. It would start screaming, upset his dogs, and then leave. It didn't hurt the dogs, just riled them up.
Just walked up there, go,
That is a mood. Like, that's such a mood. I love it. The folk monster is literally living my life. Like,
you just
my
go
dream.
Up to random people's houses with dogs and just scream at night.
Yes. All right. It was seen twice in 1967. Once by a teenager who, quote, later became a Grammy Award-winning musician, and his cousin. I tried to, like, find...
What musician?
I don't know. They didn't name him. And I was, like, trying to do research, like, Grammy Award-winning musicians from this area. Because it said he was... It just came up with, like, Jay-Z and Beyonce. And I'm like, no.
Jay-Z. It's all the folk monster.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You heard it here first, guys.
But apparently he and his cousin saw the monster running on Highway 71. They were residents of a town in Texas called Texarkana, which is literally just Texas and Arkansas put together. So they lived in Texarkana and they have never heard of the monster. And they only tied the two together after watching The Legend of the Boggy Creek years later.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Imagine just knowing that you had this terrifying experience you couldn't explain, and then seeing, like, a C-level movie horror, and you're like, oh, crap, that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be so simultaneously satisfying and satisfying, I think.
And then later becoming a Grammy Award-winning musician.
You have to factor that in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think this was honestly pivotal to his career.
Just look up songs that say, I saw the folk monster in Boggy Creek.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'll take that record deal now.
In 1968, a woman sees it early in the morning eating scraps from her hog pen and licking food remnants from a dog bowl. She said it had hair all over with a flat brown nose and canine teeth, like a dog or baboon. So she also says it has the flat nose.
So that was a very similar description to the one that punched in the window.
Yes, except she didn't happen to see its red eyes. Though I did pull these from the same source, so there's a good chance that they use different words.
You're saying when it was rewritten for this one.
Right. He could have just, or whoever wrote it could have been like, okay, flat nose, dog, whatever, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Though I do find it funny, it's 1968 and this woman is watching this creature long enough. Like, it has to be a good amount of time to be able to watch it eat scraps from the hog pen and lick the dog bowl. So it's like,
yeah.
Unless he's like, oh, human, run? Like, she's watching it for a good minute.
I'm just glad she didn't try to shoot at it.
That happens so often. Every story that I'm skipping over, it's literally just either person in car saw it crossing the highway, or person in woods saw it in woods and shot at it, and one of them ran away.
I gotcha. I'm just gonna picture a gun in every of the stories you tell.
Yeah. Yeah. It was seen again in 1968 by a father and son, twice in 1969, several times in the 1970s without exact dates, and then we hit 1971 where it was reported 10 times, including the Ford sighting. Because that was the year it went pow, and people started looking for it. It was seen in 1972, three times in 1973, three more times in 1974. All of them are very familiar. the car situation or the gun situation.
Gotcha.
It was seen again in 1977, and this one is interesting because it was seen eating a flowering plant that blooms on the trees, which I don't know why they didn't just say a flower, but he was seen eating a flower, which is like, huh.
That's sweet.
I would have thought it was like a carnivore, you know?
With canines, yeah.
Yeah. Though I have seen like dogs eat broccoli, you know?
Yeah. You're right. You are right.
It was seen 10 more times between 1978 and 1991. Then, in 1991, in Karnak, Texas, 52 miles away from folk, a large skeleton was discovered in the woods. The skeleton was 8 feet tall, but it was missing its head, tail, and claws. They gave it to Smokey Crabtree, good old Smokey, because they thought it might be the folk monster, and Smokey Crabtree apparently had written a book on the monster.
Okay.
Or he was going to, I don't know. He's somehow essential to the whole folk monster thing, and I don't really understand how.
Right.
He might just be, like, a town old man who was like, I remember when, you know?
Unearth this skeleton? No. Don't give it to the police in case it's actually a person. Give it to Smokey. Smokey yes. Crabtree.
Yes. So Smokey kept it for years. I don't know when he passed away, but I believe it was in his possession when he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And Smokey wrote in his book that it was from a creature that should not be and does not belong in our environment in this part of the country. And there is no mention on if it was DNA tested or if it was examined by scientists.
Nothing. There's no way this is an orangutan. Right?
Unless, because this was kind of a time when, like, animal cruelty was a thing.
I mean, animal cruelty is still always a thing. But yeah. More prevalent, maybe? Okay.
Yeah. And, like, they were having door-to-door monkey salesmen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good chance that, like, maybe somebody bought an orangutan skeleton.
Well, I'm thinking, you're talking about, like, reddish brown, something with a flat nose, canines, I'm assuming canines. Actually, I don't know if...
No, they said canines.
No, but I don't know if orangutans have canines.
Oh, gotcha. I know they have scary teeth.
That's probably a canine. Okay. I'm just saying, throw that in the mix of possibilities there.
Though I do say later that there's no monkeys in this area. There's no primates or anything in this area besides humans.
True, but I'm saying, like, okay.
But if you they could have been brought.
If you've been, like, a tiger king, but for orangutans, and then you have two get loose.
Yeah. Orangutan king. Yes.
Orangutan king.
Yep.
It's like Frankenstein, but for the folk monster. As in, you are creating this monster.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Yes, again, the skeleton, I don't know where it is now, and I don't believe it was ever tested. So, in 1992, the creature was seen. At this point, since we found a skeleton, I am starting to believe that it's, like, a whole bunch of them, maybe. And that, like, there's a little family of little folk monsters.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
They have babies.
Yes, because if the skeleton was found in 1991, then how was it seen by six different people at the same time in 1992? So there were five people in a pickup truck and then one man in another truck, and they were on the highway and they saw it walk across the highway. They estimated it to be about 7 feet tall with a bulky frame covered in thick, bushy hair. It was clearly silhouetted in the headlights as it crossed the highway and walked into a field where it disappeared into the darkness. Then the men Ooh. In the truck stopped and the man in the other truck stopped and they all got out of their cars and they're like, Did you see that? They confirmed that they did see it. So it was seen again in 1992 on the side of the road. Then, by five people in 1993, and it was on the side of the road. It was a similar situation where it was like two people in this car, one person in this car, and two people in this car. They all saw it, and then they all got out of their cars and were like, hey, did you guys just see that?
Okay.
So they confirmed that, and then they made the report, and then it was seen again half a mile away and 4 hours later by a totally unrelated woman.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, there's definitely something. There has to be something. Because that right there, to me, all the other times, it's kind of like, okay, they can just say whatever they want to say, you know? But two people in the same night, you know, there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
It was seen twice in 1996, once in 1997, once in 1998. Then between 2000 and 2013, it was seen 14 times. In 2013, it was caught on camera by a TV camera operator. He said he heard something very large running through the brush at dusk, and then he turned and focused his camera on the sound. He saw a very large person running towards him at a high rate of speed through the thick brush. I cannot find this video anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every time I try to find it, I get videos of Sasquatch.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Or Bigfoot or whatever. But I can't find the original video. Then again in 2013, a local saw a 4-foot version of the creature walking and crying in the woods.
Aww.
They believe that it was a youth who was looking for its parents. It ran away when it saw the person who saw it.
Huh.
So, between that sighting and the most recent sighting, there were 13 sightings. The most recent was by a researcher who was in the area. He saw a large red animal move through the woods near Mercer Bayou during daylight hours. So, Robin, you asked me this question earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Is the folk monster real?
Yeah, what do you think?
Because of all these sightings, I genuinely do believe that there is something out there.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do not believe the folk monster exists.
I see the t-shirt now. I don't believe
in the folk monster.
But on the back it says, but there is something going on in Arkansas.
Exactly. Exactly. So, after the 1971 Ford sighting, archaeologist Frank Schambach determined that there is a 99% chance that the tracks are a hoax. He said that that was really the only thing that made it seem like the creature would be a cryptid, is the fact that it has 3 toes instead of 5.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, these tracks don't match a bear, so it's not a bear, but these tracks are probably a hoax. And witnesses are like, well, stop talking about bears, it's a monkey. And so mm-hmm. a bunch of witnesses are like, it's a monkey-like creature. Unfortunately, Schambach was just like, well, then you're doubly wrong, because there's no way these footprints are any sort of primate. So all primates, including humans, have 5 toes. Every single one of them. Yeah. So there's no way a 3-toed monster is a primate.
Yeah, you're right. Another thing about this. And, you know, the lizard man had 3 toes.
He did. But I don't think this is a lizard man. Just because
No. Very hair. Opposite description.
They're like, okay, well, you said that the footprints are fake anyways. It's still a monkey. There's still a monkey going around, right? Well, there's mm-hmm. this region doesn't have a history of primate activity, except for humans, so it's definitely not a species that's natural to the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were like, well, somebody brought in this creature, and it lives here now. And it's like, well, everybody sees it at night, so it's a nocturnal creature, but all primates are diurnal, which means they're awake during the day.
I'm just learning so much about
primates
in this episode.
Yeah, so it's like they were like, well, it's a monkey, and he's like, no. In 1986, the folk monster mayor In 1986, the folk mayor and the former sheriff, who was the sheriff in 1971, said that they were also of the opinion that the tracks were man-made.
Mm-hmm.
The current sheriff, at the time of that article, which was I have no idea when, said that he hadn't taken calls about the monster for years, and he was quoted saying, "I don't believe in it, but I'd say you don't argue with the people who say they've seen it. Many were respectable and responsible folks."
Okay.
Yeah. So unlike with the Lizard Man, there's very little proof to go on.
Yeah.
So, in fact, the only proof we have are stories, sightings.
It's true folklore.
Yeah. I mean, we have drawings of it. No photos, though.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe in the folk monster, unfortunately.
Based off of what you've told me, I also do not believe in the folk monster. But I think I am team somebody brought something to Arkansas.
Yeah.
At some point.
And it's actually, like, really funny that, Robin, you specifically said an orangutan because... So I use Notion for my notes, and Notion allows you to put emojis on your page. So it'll show up with the emojis. And I struggled a lot between wanting to do the footprints, because I was like, that's more Bigfoot. You know, like, feet. So I actually settled on using the orangutan emoji for this.
Really?
Yes. Just a couple more things before I wrap up. So, you know how there's a Lizard Man festival?
Yes, I do.
There is a folk monster festival.
Woo!
So, established under the name of Boggy Creek Festival in 2013, the Folk Monster Festival is an annual event. They discuss sightings, have presentations, and debate over the lore of the folk monster and other cryptids. The best part is that the proceeds are donated to the Folk School District, and in 2019 they had their record-breaking over $3,000 that was raised for the district. Which, for a small town, that can go pretty well. Like, that's a lot for a small town.
Go them!
The next festival will be held on June 18th, 2022, and for more information, you can go follow the event page on Facebook.
Fun stuff.
There is also a 24, maybe, probably not 7, nope. There is a store that stays up all year round called the Monster Mart. The Monster Mart.
Ooh.
The address is 104 Highway 71, Folk, Arkansas, 71837. The sign is being held up by a giant smiling folk monster. I think it's supposed to be snarling. And there are t-shirts available for purchase. So it's, like, on the roof of the building. It's just, like, and it's holding the sign. And it has the flat nose and the red eyes.
Cute.
Yeah. It started as a convenience store, but then, like, tourists were like, oh, the Monster Mart. And so, like, they would go inside and just see, like, bug juice and Gatorade. And they'd be like,
I miss bug juice.
I'm sorry for bringing up that memory. And but the tourists would be like, aw, this sucks. So it became a folk monster museum and a place to get, like, tourist shirts. Like, I went to folk and didn't see a monster or whatever, you know? So the owner said, I haven't had any sightings yet, but I'd love to sit down and have a beer with the guy and thank him. Talking about the folk monster.
That's cute. That's really cute.
And this is where I do a little bit of a plug. If you live near there, or you're just passing by, please send photos of it to hauntedhospitalitypodcast@gmail.com or any of our socials. Because I couldn't find any photos of the inside. I found the photo of the outside, but I have no idea what the inside looks like.
Yeah, send us things.
So, one more thing, and I promise I'll wrap it up. So, I told you about the legend of the Boggy Creek, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Robin, there were sequels.
Yes!
So,
what they do.
In 1977, there was a sequel, Return to Boggy Creek. So the first movie was based loosely around the Ford sighting, okay?
Okay.
This sequel is purely fictional because they weren't planning on making a sequel. And it tells the story of a mother who lost her 3 children into the swamp. And you can find it on YouTube, Robin.
You can?
Yes. And it's okay. Square, because it was VHS from Square TVs. So Robin and I are definitely going to have a movie night where we watch that, just saying.
Oh, yeah, we have to watch it.
Definitely. And it's, like, in the 70s, so you know the acting's terrible. So then, after that, there was a 1985 film originally titled The Barbaric Beast of Boggy Creek, but now it's known as Boggy Creek 2, and the legend continues. It's the third movie. I don't know why they said 2.
The Barbaric Beast of
Boggy Creek. Yes.
That title was not workshopped.
No. This one is about a University of Arkansas professor who takes a group of students to the swamp, and I guess they get attacked. And then...
Does it have a final girl?
I don't know. We'd have to watch it.
Yeah.
In 2010, the movie Boggy Creek, The Legend is True, came out direct-to-home video. It was an unrelated fictional town called Boggy Creek, Texas. However, quote, the film obviously draws influence from Pierce's film, the original, with its small-town setting and use of spooky swampscapes for its Southern Sasquatch horror slasher.
Southern Sasquatch horror slasher.
I'm throwing a lot of tongue twisters in here at the end, which is not very kind for myself. And then, lastly, in 2011, there was a movie that came out, The Legacy of the Boggy Creek. Originally called The Skunk Ape Story, the skunk ape is actually a different cryptid, which I will be covering in the future, either as a creature corner or a full episode, depending on how much information is out there on it.
Yeah.
But it is another docudrama that tells the story of what happened after the original attacks of the folk monster. So, Robin.
Yeah.
That is the story of the folk monster.
Thank you for sharing.
You are very welcome.
I really loved learning about the folk monster and or the orangutan.
Yes.
And I especially loved hearing everybody's stories.
Yeah. But it's like, if you think about it, it's like, okay, if you see a deer, where do you see a deer? Either dead on the side of the road, crossing the road, or in the woods.
So it's a creature. Deer show up in my backyard all the time.
Well, no, that was another type of story, though. So, in your yard, and then it would run away.
Yeah.
Every single sighting of this creature, it's in the woods, on the road, or in someone's yard. And it's just like, so it behaves like a normal creature.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally attacks people. But that's okay. It's okay.
That's because people have guns.
Yes. People need to stop shooting random creatures that they see in the woods.
Yeah, stop that. Like, what are you going to do with an 800-pound creature once you shoot it?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah.
All right. Well, Zoe, thank you for sharing today.
Of course.
If you liked today's episode, you can like, subscribe, review, tell a friendo, and also join our Patreon at patreon.com/hauntedhospitality. It is $3 a month, and you get a new episode every month.
Yes, on the 13th, because we're spooky. If you want to see one sources, you can go to hauntedhospitality.wordpress.com. And if you'd like to share your own spooky story, whether it be true crime or paranormal, you can write to us at hauntedhospitalitypodcast@gmail.com.
We are also on the interwebs at Facebook and Instagram and TikTok at Haunted Hospitality and Twitter at Haunted Hosts. We hope to see you there.
Stay spooky.
Spooky. I saw the folk monster in Boggy Creek. Do 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 do.
Yep.